are.
This is the last of the sub-series, right?
It's not a sub-series.
Sub-series.
It's a sub-series. It's okay.
Series A.
There's nothing wrong with being a sub-series. It's fine. We are looking at Philippians week 4, A New Way of Life, part 3, What Kind of Joy?
So calling it What Kind of Joy because we have to figure out whose joy is it. Is it the joy that our world defines or the joy that is defined by who God is? Essentially, what you have to start with is the idea that joy is delight in God for the intrinsic value of who he is. So when we take the last couple weeks that we've been in about saints and servants and grace and peace, that's what joy comes out of, understanding what God has done, who he has called us to be, how he has brought us into his family, and we in response gets to live in these certain ways. And one of those is, most importantly, joy. All these things start in what God has done. So there are five things, a couple I stole from Piper, a couple I put in, but reasons to be joyful. Number one is obviously that God is joyous and happy. Everything starts with God himself. Secondly, God made his people to enjoy him and the life that he gives them. The third thing may sound a little bit negative, but it's actually a positive when you think about it, and that is our sin is what causes us to trade the joy of God for lesser things. It's not God that makes his joy less. It's us that do that, but God has restored us to himself. The fourth thing is that we can have a life marked by freedom and joy because Jesus gives it to us. It's for freedom's sake that Christ has set you free, and living in that freedom will result in joy. And then, and in that too, there is a little side note that I have in there is joy and freedom is not abuse or abstention. It's neither one of those things. It's not trying to stay away from freedom because we're afraid of it. It's also not trying to abuse our freedom. And the fifth thing then is our true joy points to God's glory and his kingdom. And I think when those five things go together, the church starts to function and act in a way that it brings so much joy to the world around us. Because when you see people when they think about Christianity in this world who aren't really a part of it, you can really see what joyless Christianity has led to this perception in the world around us, because people just look at it and they think Christians are now a meme posting mob who are just angry at everything and want to fight against everything and tear everybody down. And what if they actually looked in and instead saw this joyful people who loved one another, who built one another up, whose lives were truly centered on Christ and lived in that goodness? We'd be showing the world what it's actually longing for. Last night, Laura Ayers was just talking about how when we gather together, our conversation just feels so natural and it comes out and we're just processing this. And I go, well, that's a lot of editing by Michael, because there's...
Oh, when we?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
The main thing she said, though, is there's no spiritual bypassing, like abstaining from vulnerability and transparency and throwing out platitudes or Christianese language. And
oh, thanks for listening, Laura Ayers. That's nice. You were talking about Laura's comment and how it applies to today. Do you want to connect the dots to this message?
Yeah, something that came up when I was reading this, I mean, there were a lot of great nuggets, but one thing I was thinking about and trying to help guide people through this is so many people have a hard time reconciling joy, which is a feeling, but also not just a feeling, it's something greater. How to reconcile that with also the existence of maybe sadness, discouragement, disappointment. And so thinking about our GCs and just life circumstances, how do we help people understand that? And so what connected in my mind between that and spiritual bypassing is that there's just a lot of nuance and complexity around this. Because you talk about the verse, you know, for the joy set before him, right, which obviously is a reality. And this is also the same God who is sweating blood, you know, in the garden the night of his arrest. So how do we help people maybe grasp the complexity of their experiences and realize that experiencing sadness, anguish, hardship, it doesn't have to diminish or discount the joy that is always available to us.
I will tell you.
Wow.
Let's hear it.
Such confidence.
This is one of the ways that I think why all these weeks have to go together.
Yeah.
Servants and saints, who you are in Christ. They're not thinking of grace that we have been brought in by an unobligated giver.
A lot of duality like to hold.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think the sub-series, Michael Reed, of, you know, this new kind of life, a new way of life, they each one goes together to lead to this. Our joy is found starting in the intrinsic value of who God is. That means that our joy isn't about a happiness. Because what happens when things go bad? That's why joy is deeper than happiness. Joy sits in the foundation of how we live as believers, because it's founded in the intrinsic value of who God is, the unobligated giver who has brought us in and shown his favor to bring us into his family. So when we step into those hard times and places in our world, that's something that can never be taken away. The sainthood, the grace, the peace that we have. And so that leads to this understanding of joy. And not that joy isn't a feeling, because joy does produce feelings, but joy is deeper than just the feelings.
Have different emotional parts.
I mean, I think of depression. I mean, people who are depressed can laugh and have a good time and still have this inner thing going on. And likewise, my life may be a wreck of unhappiness of circumstances, but there should be a deep-seated sense of joy that comes from knowing God. Mm-hmm. Right? And so knowing who he is and understanding and experiencing that should change how I feel about life. And it's the hope of, even though this is a wreck right now, it may not end up this way. Will not end up this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Piper gives this definition of joy. He says, Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul, but it's produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. It does produce the feeling, but that feeling is predicated on what he has done, the intrinsic value, again, of who God is. It doesn't mean the joy isn't there, and it doesn't mean that the joy can't come back to being our reality, but there are moments where things get so overwhelming that we forget the intrinsic value of who he is. We forget that God has brought us in as the unobligated giver.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which is why we need community. Right. I need to be reminded how good God is sometimes.
And not in a platitude or a trite way.
No.
You're forgetting how good God is right now. You need to knock it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I think that's the kind of spiritual bypassing, you know, she was referencing. So how to hold the full picture. Going back to depth perception almost, it's like that in a different way, right?
I can't believe how that hit people
it really,
so much.
I think it's a stark image. It was really clear for people. What's again, that? It goes back to that duality, that like one eye seeing far, one eye seeing near, the depth of my sin and the grandeur of God's grace. Mm-hmm. It's like also like the depth of joy and also just the stark reality of what it means to go through a broken world and the pain that causes.
Right. The one is the source of our hope that allows us to go through this brokenness of our world, the sin of our own lives, or the sin against us. If I didn't have a hope, where would I find joy? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the hope is based in a person and who that person is and what he's like.
I think to complete the metaphor, we should make Jesus the big E on the
chart.
Emmanuel.
Oh, God with us. There you go. We got it.
I really like what you said about finding deep satisfaction in Jesus and how that's what draws us back to him and away from things that are sinful.
The goal in our lives, and I said this last week too, is the goal in our lives is not to not sin. The goal in our lives is to love Jesus, because that produces in us this satisfaction in who God is that leads us away from sin.
Yeah, I think if our groups will focus on the lesser joys that we pursue and that we put in place of real joy, I think that would be a good place to dive deeper into why and what is it we think we get from those things, and then help redirect each other back to the true joy of Christ.
And if we have our focus being on Christ himself, that moves us beyond ourselves. And I think it has us in community to be able to have hard conversations with one another, be able to pray for one another when it feels awkward, be able to ask questions when it doesn't, you know, it doesn't seem like the easiest time to ask questions. All those things come together when our focus is worshiping Christ first.
That would be good, though, to look at the things we pursue of to make us feel happy or substitute joys, and we look for things to find joy in instead of the true source of our joy. If we don't identify them, we don't understand how we're missing the absolute true joy.
And I think some people get joy out of the negative things in life, of creating conflict with others and being in conflict, and that, you know, it's like they get this sense of like of their being when they're angry at everyone else and blaming everyone else, and
you can give them a cause or a purpose in that moment.
So it's a fellowship of the
hatred,
the anger.
Matt Chandler called it the cul-de-sac of stupidity. We keep turning left, keep thinking temporary things that have never brought joy. If we just get more of that thing, it's going to then finally give us the joy.
That's the perpetual roundabout.
Yeah, but the reality is there's a lot of people that find their identity in that. Your life isn't happy, you're full, but you're just angry the entire time, but you keep leaning into that. And people get a warmth, a kind of fulfillment a bit when you have the outrage.
So if you have someone in your group like that, going back to the cul-de-sac, how do you help? How do we help? If it's a friend, if it's a family member, what's a path you guys take to try to help someone take a right instead of a left?
I think you have to talk about the futility of staying in the cul-de-sac and recognize what is not getting you, that you may be thinking that staying in is going to get you, whether it be resolution to a problem. If I just grind this thing out long enough, I'll finally find my answer. When I'm constantly looking inside. So I think you got to at some point face what is producing in you. What's the fruit? What in that circle are you telling yourself about who God is? And what do you understand about him? What do you think he's like in your struggle or whatever? Because that's where you find out where people have poor beliefs or believing lies about him.
You could ask somebody, I think, in that moment, can you define the gospel? What is it? And once I think someone can define the gospel, what it really is, then you can help them to understand you're not turning towards the gospel. You're turning your life, each one of these moments, away from it because you're focusing back on yourself and not what Christ has done. You've got to have that closeness to be able to have those hard discussions, to speak that truth in the middle of it, because you can still be honest about yourself. I can tell you about the times I kept making a left-hand turn. I'm still making a left-hand turn when it comes to these things. And instead of turning into those temporary things, we need to turn into what the gospel is, to sit in that deep joy that doesn't fade because it's found in who God is.
I was thinking too, like, I wonder what aspects of who God is, like, are really bringing delight for the people in our GC right now. Because I think you walk through life and there's certain seasons where certain characteristics of his like really stand out. And
for me, it's always God's faithfulness, right? His faithfulness to me in the midst of my sin and bizarreness of who I am in my life, how I treat people, how I think about people, how I think, you know, people should give me certain things so I feel better. It's always his faithfulness in me and my failures.
Mm-hmm. Mine goes along with that, but I love the word steadfast. I just like the word, you know, and scripture is full of his steadfast love, you know, which ties into his being faithful, but, you know, the knuckleheadedness of my life, and yet he's just steadfast in loving me anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, undeserved, unobligated giver.
You're talking about Jesus's, like, his humor is perfect. His, you know, people liked being around him. So that's been rattling my brain since I read that. Like, yeah, like I can like being around Jesus for who he is. Like, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I can like Jesus for not just by what he did on the cross, which is amazing, but I can like him for him. And yeah, it's great.
He would have been a good friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone to hang out with.
Yeah.
All right, so how about this week? Why don't we come to a place where we trust God's retelling of our story instead of our own telling of our story? Because when we tell our story, we're always going to move towards narcissism and self and trying to put things in our life that make us feel better rather than trusting God's retelling, which will bring us to a true place of joy, of trusting him for the intrinsic value of who he is. So let's love God for who he is and live in his joy.
I wonder what aspects of who God is, like, are really bringing delight for the people in our GC right now. Because I think you walk through life and there's certain seasons where certain characteristics of his like really stand out. And I'd be curious about that.
It's a good question. I like it.
Thank you. How about for you guys?
Oh, yeah, I thought it was a good question, too.
No. Writes on notepad.
A thumb up. Yeah. Another thumbs up.
There you go. That's the end
of
the
podcast. I wasn't looking for validation.
I know what you're asking. I just thought it was funny.
It was funny.
It was perfectly timed.
It was. Well timed.
Well timed.